What do we get out of the Feast of Tabernacles? The answer is what we put into it. Acts 20:35 says, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." It's more blessed, or as we heard last night, it's happier to be able to give than to receive. This is not the natural way of man. It is not normal for man to think that way. It is of the flesh. It is carnal. And again, this is why carnal has a negative connotation, because it's associated with these types of things, because it's related to the physical, and we are in that state. So it's our natural tendency to think this way, in antithesis to what the Bible says in such the scriptures as Acts 20:35, where it's more blessed to give than receive. We look around the world, and what do we see? We see the world wants to get. They want to get more materialism, more things. They want to get their way. When our mind is on getting things, it is not on God, because it's elsewhere. When it is on giving, we are putting on the mind of God. Notice in 1 Timothy 6:17, how God is, how He acts. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 17. It says, "Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy." God gives us all things. Think about what God has given to us. He gave us the earth and its resources, all the blessings of this life. He gave us life and breath itself. Before there was anything, there was nothing. And God created the earth. He gave it. He put us on it. He gave us to the earth. He gave the earth for us to use. So God is the ultimate giver. He has given everything. Mark 10:45. So God set this example of giving, so it should stand to reason and follow that His Son is that way. His Son is a giver. In Mark 10 and verse 45, it says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give His life a ransom for many." We see that He gave of Himself in service. He did not seek to be given to, or to get, or to be served. And then He gave the greatest gift of all, the greatest show of love possible. He gave His life for us. 2 Corinthians 8:9. In doing so, in giving His life, in serving and giving, He set an example for us to follow. 2 Corinthians 8:9. "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that you through His poverty might become rich." Think about what Christ divested Himself of. He gave up His Godhead, His God-being. He gave up that so that, what? And He became poor. He became human like us, so that we could have the great riches that He had and that He now has again. So He gave up an incredible amount, more than we can even imagine at this point, so that we could have these things in the future. So He set an incredible example of giving. So the least that we can do, and what God expects us to do, is to follow this example of giving. Mark 10:42. We'll go up a few scriptures from where we were just before. Mark 10 and verse 42. It says, and whoever, and this is Christ speaking, and whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, assuredly, I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. So by doing a work of giving, we are keeping the rewards that go along with the gift that we've been given of salvation. But notice in this scripture that it is only a cold cup of water that enabled this mechanism to stay in place. It enabled us to keep our reward. A cold cup of water. Just a small cup of cold water. So, in this case, it was the thought that counts. And, you know, not to be trite or to demean, but it was the thought that counts, followed up by this action that filled a need. In Matthew 25, it talks a little bit more about this. Matthew 25, we'll read verses 34 to 40. Matthew 25, verses 34 to 40. It says, then the king, again, Christ speaking, then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. So what we're seeing is, see a need, fill a need. And it doesn't necessarily have to be a physical one like they're talking about here. It can be whatever we see that is lacking and that we can meet. Continuing in verse 37, then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of my brethren, you did it to me. So by doing these things, or similar ones, to the people who are in need, Christ is saying this is the same as having done it to him. Now, can we imagine that? Who today, knowing what we know, if we went back to the time of Christ, wouldn't have done these things for Christ, knowing who and what he was? If you saw him hungry, who out here would not have invited Jesus Christ to their home for a meal? If he was in prison, who here would not have gone and visited him, knowing who he was? Who would not have taken that opportunity to do something like that? Or how about if he was beaten and carrying a cross? Would you have not helped him bear it? Of course we would. We would all jump at that opportunity to do something like that. What about angels? Hebrews 13. If I told you that the one in need was an angel sent by God to test you, what would you do? Hebrews 13, verses 1 and 2. Let brotherly love continue. Setting the theme and talking in this vein of continuing in brotherly love, what we're talking about today. Do not forget to entertain strangers. For by so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels. So by entertaining, by giving to them. By giving to, again, unknowingly to somebody. We may have entertained strangers. Down in verse 16 of Hebrews 13, it says, but do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. So if we knew that it was a test, if we knew it was a test, would we have risen to the occasion? Of course we would have. Well, brethren, this is a test. God is testing us now in hopes that we will pass and that we will do the right thing. Final scripture in Philippians 2, 1 through 5. Philippians 2, 1 through 5. And the admonition from Paul. Some words of wisdom in this vein. Beginning in verse 1 of Philippians 2. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, so if you have any of these things, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, through getting. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. And then in verse 4, let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind here that we're speaking of, be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, our example. So, brethren, during the feast, let each one of us give as he purposes, not grudgingly or of necessity, because God loves a cheerful giver. And for this feast and for beyond, let's go out and do the right thing. And in order to get the most out of this feast, let's give.